The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
February rolls along with a ton of sports action in the NBA, college basketball, and NHL. There's only one place to get in on the odds, betonline.ag. Create a free account at betonline.ag and receive a 50% sign-up bonus just by using the promo code PODCAST1. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of You're Welcome. All right, let's get it out of the way. I'm late and I'm all wet, but I don't think that I should get a tardy slip. I think I've got a good excuse. So here's what happened. I'm sitting in the car. Joel's driving. I've got a big cup of coffee, hot from Starbucks, brimmed to the full. Light turns green. Joel does not observe the green light, but then the light goes red. Joel does observe that. So he's forced to slam the brakes on. But I must tell you, he made it. He made it prior to the crosswalk and just up to the bell. But the bad news is the guy behind us did not. So we get rear-ended, and it knocks us forward, knocks my phone out of my hand that I happen to be playing Wednesday's podcast on. Relevant to the story, come back to that. Coffee goes all over the place, and now I'm all wet. And it went from scalding hot coffee to I wish it was now warm coffee because my shirt's freezing and so are my pants. But when I needed to find the phone, because the phone was gone, the only reason I could find the phone is because the podcast continued to play. So it was like a game of Simon Says. So I was able to find that. But here we are. That was my excitement for the day. I come to you guys with a little bit of news. The saga that I touched on Wednesday about Cain versus Francis Ngannou and the mystery of the knee or the uppercut, I have re-seen it. I saw the knee go out. The problem is it's at the exact same time that he is being hit with an uppercut. That is also true. We talked about this on Wednesday. It's like this was a sleight of hand, an optical illusion. I watched this thing again and again and again, slower and slower and slower. It's simultaneous. That knee goes out. That is what makes him begin to fall. The other side of that is Francis was throwing a punch that landed in some fashion. Not very hard. Ladd called it a push punch. I get it. That's true, but it is kind of hard if you're Francis to not take the victory, hold your head high, and smile. He did everything right. He weathered the storm. Cain was crowding him. He found a short punch known as an uppercut, and he touched the target, which was Cain's head. But if you do watch it at that exact same time, Cain is going down from this very light punch. And the other part of the equation is as Cain buckles and goes backwards, if you zero in on his face, he is actually quite literally saying the word, ow. As he's bending back over his knee, he's actually yelling out, ow. Like you would do if your knee gave out. Not like a professional cage fighter would do if he was punched. Something he expected and willfully signed on for to happen. So my final conclusion, I don't have one. I'm just laying out the facts of the case for you. And it seems like there's enough turmoil on both sides that if Cain can get that leg better, we're just going to have to do this one again. That's what it would seem to me, particularly if the dialogue continues of Team Cain saying, oh, no, it was a knee, and Team Francis saying, oh, no, it was an uppercut. Those two can keep that alive. They can go have themselves a really meaningful rematch. What you wear and what you put into your body is made to help you look, feel, and perform at your best. So shouldn't what you put on your skin every day do the same? Our sponsor, Art of Sport, combines innovation and the best science with the guidance of world-class athletes to take skincare to the next level for everyone. We all deserve to give our skin what it needs to smell, look, and feel its best. Use the promo code CHAMP at artofsport.com and get 50% off a trial kit plus free shipping. Check out what's in this kit: deodorant, hair and body wash, body bar soap, and free sunscreen. Again, that's promo code CHAMP at artofsport.com to get 50% off a trial kit and free shipping. Treat your skin with the respect it deserves. Art of Sport. Better for you products that perform better. Nick, help me out with a name here. Jesse Smollett. The kid from Empire. Juicy? Jussie? Jesse Smollett? I'm going to go with that, but I'm not positive I'm right. I don't like getting names wrong. Do you know I do it a lot? And Juicy, it's spelled weird. J-U-S-S-E, but it's pronounced like Jesse or something. At any rate. This kid, he's an actor on Empire, which is a television show. Back this case up. I almost did a piece on this the day that it came out, and the only thing that stopped me is I realized if I do a piece on this, that is the same way as turning in my resignation to any company I work for. It is too hot. It is too sensitive. And to say that that story simply did not happen at that time would not have been a wise move, and I didn't do it. But now enough time has passed, and it seems as though it's a fair game to talk about. Okay, this guy gets beat up at 2 a.m. in Chicago, and when they beat him up, they pour something on him of which he believes to be bleach, and they put a noose around his neck. Horrifying. Absolutely terrible story. When I saw this story, I had a funny reaction to it because international news was made by Chicago that exact same night because they reached negative 40 degrees. And he said he went out for a walk to Subway, the sandwich restaurant, at 2 a.m., which is one of the coldest times of a day that is setting an all-time record of negative 40. That right in its face was surprising to me. That doesn't make this guy a BS artist. It doesn't make the story not true. But it stood out for me, because I happened to have just read the news that it was negative 40 right before I read that he was out at 2 a.m. for a walk through Chicago to get a 6-inch. And I'm looking at this guy. I happen to watch Empire. I'm looking at this guy. At least in my eyes, this is a rich and famous guy. I don't actually know what his personal business is. But it does strike me as though a guy like this would probably have some cold cuts and bread laying around the house. It's not as though Subway has a unique taste. It's not as though his story was he went out for a Whopper and he needed something flame broiled. It's meat and cheese on bread that's been sitting there since the previous day when they opened. I thought it was a little bit strange that he needed to go to Subway at 2 a.m. Again, I will admit that's no piece of evidence. But on the way, he gets confronted. He gets beat up. I had a couple of questions with this, okay? Because it turned out he did go to Subway. As much as I thought that was peculiar, they had surveillance footage of him at Subway. Okay, he did a weird thing. Fine. But he got beat up by two guys who were said to be wanting to beat him up because of the color of his skin. So if you have two scumbags that are out looking to do something really bad to a guy of a specific race, it is alarming, interesting, and peculiar that they didn't beat him up very bad. By example, I couldn't see a mark on his body. Didn't mean that he didn't have some body shots given. I didn't see that, but I saw him do interviews and I saw his face as quick as one day later. I thought, well, that's really weird. Two guys sought you out in negative 20 degree weather. They dumped a chemical on you. They put a noose around your neck. They beat you, but they didn't beat you very bad. He then, to add to the story, and this was one of the bigger tells for the people that were starting to go, hey, wait a minute, there's more to this story. One of the bigger tells was when he finally gets back to his home, which I believe is a condo. When he finally gets back home, he calls the police, and when the police arrive X amount of time later, he's still wearing the noose. In fact, the police had commented on it in their report as though he was wearing it as a necktie, that it was not like this long noose that you would, you know, throw around the tree or something like that. It was just nice and short, and they left him with either which you could interpret as a threat or, in this case, a souvenir and a piece of evidence. But either way, this is the story, and he had never taken it off. So I'm sitting at home looking at this and going, man, this is a lot to take in. Strange things happen all the time. Crime as a whole is a very strange thing, but you're asking us to believe a lot of things right now. But I do quickly think to myself, there's a piece of good news here. And the good news is that Chicago is the most crime-ridden city in America, and the way that the local police department has chose to cut back on that crime is they put cameras absolutely everywhere, and I'm talking about everywhere. So in a short amount of time, the authorities will be able to amass literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different surveillance tapes, getting him from the front steps of his home to the counter at Subway and back. And that's exactly what the police set out to do. But the police, before they go and track down everything in this few block radius, just turn to this actor and simply say, where did this happen? And he did not know. And the police said, okay, well, you live over here and the subway's over here and it was awfully cold. So we're going to go ahead and make the assumption that you've done this walk many times. And he said, yes, that's true. They said, okay, then let us just ask you the same question one more time. Where were you? If you know the walk and you were unencumbered, and there was no one on the street and you weren't distracted, who were you with? Or just simply, where were you? He didn't know. Not, I didn't know I had a concussion. Not, I didn't know the anxiety. I don't want to relive that moment. Simply, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I don't know where I was. Well, okay, that red flag for the police, because if you back up to the previous part of the story. Nick, is this your first time hearing the story? Okay. Then I should arm you with something that happened previous, which was on the set of Empire. He got a letter. Do you remember the Zodiac Killer? You see movies on that? Okay. One of the goofy things that Zodiac Killer would do is he would always send letters, whether it was taunting the police or taunting the families of the victims. But he was very cognizant about handwriting and forensic computer technology. So what this knucklehead would do is he would take the time to get like 12 different newspapers and magazines. In each word that he wanted to use in the letter, he would cut out from a different publication and then like super glue it onto the letter. So if it was like, hey, Nick, how's your day? He'd get a letter that said, hey, and then he'd cut out the Nick and then cut out the how. What's okay, you understand. All right. So about 2 weeks prior to this incident happening, a letter like that shows up to the set of Empire. And it was very specific to him. And it was very specific to two parts of his life, race being one and the way he identifies sexually being the other. But it's a threat, make no mistake, and it was a threat that was taken serious. And NBC, who produces Empire, hired to great expense a large level of security because they were so concerned about this letter. Now, the relevance to that being, if he was truly under threat, and a threat only has the power, don't ever forget this in life, a threat only has the power of the reaction of the person you threat. If you ever feel threatened, you created that power, by the way. But he gave every sign to believe that he did take it serious and that he was feeling threatened. That does not coincide with going for a walk by yourself at 2 a.m. in a crime-ridden city known as Chicago to get a foot-long sandwich. The point I'm getting at is once he was attacked, he then tried to paint the illusion of, yes, they foreshadowed this, while painting the illusion that this was a random act of violence. In the world of law authority, from the local beat cop all the way to the FBI, it can't be both. It cannot be a random act of violence and a premeditated attack at the same time. So whenever you have somebody telling you that story and telling you it was both, which it cannot be, they're mutually exclusive, the eyes of the authority quickly open up and they go, okay, it's the third option and the only other option, which is this story is malfactured. This story is manufactured. So the police were pretty hip to this pretty quick. I was very hip to this very quick. But I was much like the police in that I was not foolish enough to come out and speak about this. Hey guys, you like saving money, right? Well, you know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And if you dig that, then get ready for this because you can do it right from home. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. So the next piece of the puzzle was this actor's manager decides to weigh in and say, oh, yeah, I was there and I can corroborate everything being said. I was on the phone with him. And when the phone dropped, the phone was still hot, and I heard everything that these guys said. And they were beating him, and it was a racist attack, and here's the following words that they said, which matched up exactly with what the actor had told the police. So the police go, okay, that's great. That's really great, because We can't find the location. In fact, we have hundreds of videos we've gone through, and we can't see him being attacked in any of them. We've also asked your client to give us his cell phone, because if he'll give us his cell phone, we can triangulate this much more effectively. But he's refused to give us our cell phone. But now that you say you were on the call, we can just borrow your cell phone, and we can get this case solved real quick. Manager wouldn't give up the cell phone either. So here's where you start to see the story begin to unravel. Now, through hundreds and possibly up to 1,000 different surveillance tapes, they found two guys that also happened to be roaming the street at that same time, those same streets. The problem is these guys just did not fit the profile. The victim said very clearly he was beaten by two white guys. The video showed two black guys. When the black guys were shown to him in video, he said, yeah, that's them. Okay, are you sure that's them? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here, let us show you this from a different angle and zoom in on their faces. Boom. He's confronted with the fact that they're black guys. Well, that can't be them. I was beaten by white guys. Okay, yeah, we got it, but we need to know how good of a witness you are. You just said for sure it was them, and now you're saying it doesn't meet the profile. Well, upon a little bit further review, they find out that both of these gentlemen that were in the surveillance tape knew this actor. As a matter of fact, they had acted on the show Empire with him. So they go kick in the front door to these guys' house, and what do they find? A script to Empire. Turns out these guys are buddies. A little bit further review, it turns out that these two guys, they happen to be brothers. They're related. They're brothers. I don't want any confusion there on the colloquialism term of brother. These two brothers also have like a secret Instagram account or some level of social media. I believe it was Instagram. Turned out the actor had a secret Instagram account. Turned out they all followed one another. So you're starting to see a story develop that still does not deny his original tale. People get peed up by their friends all the time. Actors on shows that never make it above extra have a jealousy and a resentment towards the star all the time. Not enough there for it to be BS. But once these guys get hemmed up and taken into custody, they start to sing. And they get released, no charges, released within 2 hours. So as soon as that happened, you really don't need any other evidence as far as understanding and knowing how the police work. To have these two guys who were caught on surveillance released with no charges within the afternoon means that the cops found their man. And their man is the actor, and the actor lied, and the actor made up the story. Now, where that gets to be very fascinating, so there'll be a lot of people that said, I told you so. And nobody should be doing that. Okay? I, right now, am not doing an I told you so moment. As a matter of fact, I'm putting the brakes on anybody that wants to do an I told you so moment because we have something in this country called innocent until proven guilty. And if you haven't seen the importance of that and of that theory, then you did not just follow the story. Because as recently as a week ago, he was the victim. And these two other guys got their front door kicked in and put in handcuffs because they were the culprits. And everybody's ready to hang them and pin a medal on this actor's chest. Now all of a sudden those guys turn out not to be guilty and this guy's the biggest liar since Morton Downey Jr. for faking his assault and bringing false race into it and doing it for personal gain and fraud and conspiracy, and it's terrible and it's wrong and it wasted police time and resources. But he's not guilty of anything yet. There is no I told you so yet. There is just a story that is very odd. But many stories are very odd. Being odd or peculiar or abnormal is not evidence that something did not happen. And there seems to be an important lesson here that people are failing to observe because this story made it to the highest levels. By example, the president weighed in on it. By example, two people who are running against the president to become president weighed in on it. Knee-jerk reaction. They jumped to conclusion. They hung their hat on the side, you should always believe the victim. Well, hold on. If you always believe the victim, which seems like a really warm-hearted and nice thing to say, you're now also turning your back on the accused. So before you come in here like you're Mr. Good-hearted, there's two sides to the coin, and if you have a victim, then you have aggressors. So it's important to find out, first off, do we have a victim? Because if we don't, then we don't have aggressors. We don't want to ruin their life either. And the lesson in this, very clear, is you take a deep breath. You take a deep breath, and you wait for things to play out. I see that within our sport, Nick, but I see that in life in general, where people are ready to be the judge, jury, and the executioner, and they're made to look foolish within a 24-hour news cycle. Within a 24-hour news cycle, they are made to look foolish, but if they were the judge, jury, and or executioner, you can't take that back. If you go out and you bury somebody, including verbally, without having the facts, you cannot take that back. You just shamed them. If you wrote articles on them and you posted it to something on the internet, and within 24 hours you find out that you were wrong and you were duped, I've never seen a reporter come out and try to make it right. I've seen reporters pretend to make her. Oh, we have a correction here. Last night we said, and the correct words would have been, and then they move on. And that seems to work. Instead of openly steering into it. Hey, guys, I'm a fool. I was in a big hurry yesterday. I got some news. Didn't double check it. Had it wrong. Shouldn't have told you guys that. I sure hope everybody that was watching yesterday is watching today, when the reality is I'm sure you're not, which means I don't even give this fake apology that I'm attempting to do to all of the people I owe it to. But my bosses in the back said I have to do this, and they turn the camera on and they pay me at the end of the night, right? You see the problem. There's a major lesson to be learned here, and not just for this actor that set off for whatever publicity stunt that he did. But he went too far with it. It was an amateur move. I mean, if he could perfect his craft somewhere down the road, first off, he won't bring in partners because everybody leaks. That's how crimes get solved. Somebody talks. So, hey, actor, next time you're going to do a spoof, do it all on your own. Second lesson, you went too far. The letter to the set is too far to get beat up in a fight 2-on-1 in 20-degree weather but not have any injuries is pretty tough. To have a noose, which I can only imagine. Oh, gosh, that made me panic. Nick, I go into panic mode. Somebody put a rope around my neck, I would instantly think the worst, particularly if there's a 2-on-1 and I can't stop them. And I'd been threatened 2 weeks before. And then they leave you with the noose. And then when they leave, you wear the noose home. Then you get into the comforts of your own home. Turn your lights on, shut your door, make a phone call to the cops, call your manager. You don't ever take the noose off? And do you want to know what one of the biggest tells was? One of the biggest tells is he went on Good Morning America, Michael Strahan, who I was with over this weekend. I asked Michael about this. And he was a great actor. This guy's a great actor. He convinced them all. But as he told his story, he said that he was confronted by these two guys, and he brings race into it. Race is very sensitive. I don't even like discussing it. But if I'm quoting and telling you the story and its accuracy, I must bring race into it. When he's confronted by these two guys, they say something to him, and one of them punches him in the face. And guess what he says? Very proudly, his face lights up, and you almost have to see this to know what I mean. Very proudly, and he says, "So I punched him back." And after he says, "I punched him back," there's a pause. It turned into a question. His big bravado moment of I stood up for myself instead of cowering into a little ball, which would have been a very normal thing to do, by the way. Getting bleach dumped on me, getting a noose put around me, I'm completely terrified, hoping that my manager who's on the phone listening to this will hang up and call 911 immediately, which oddly the manager never did. He says instead, "I punched him back." But he pauses afterwards, waiting for the audience's reaction. The audience in this case is Michael Strahan. Strahan doesn't form a word. So after this beat, he then goes into, "But the other guy was kicking me in the back, and we started tussling over by the stairs." And he was using words like this, "tussle," and "he punched me," and "I punched him." And I was just gathering the bravado. And I am well aware in these stories, even when somebody is the victim, I'm aware that they will add pieces to the story to make them look more macho, right? They're fishing trip stories. They're old war stories. Fitch was 6 inches big, but you did catch it. But when you retold the story, it was 9. I get it. The guy was still telling the truth, but he added a little. This didn't make him a liar to me. I just knew, as a fighter, as a guy in combat, that no, you did not punch him back. You most certainly did not. Particularly when you were armed with, in your own mind, for the last 2 weeks and heightened security, a threat that this very thing was going to happen. Yet you went out alone without a weapon, without a dog, without anybody, and walked the streets of the most dangerous city in America. It was a sucker's move, and it was done very amateurish, and there was better ways to get this story over. But that is the story. To be continued.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
It's time to get in shape with Ben Greenfield Fitness on Podcast One. Tune into the latest health, fitness, and multi-sport research, non-run-of-the-mill interviews with exercise and medicine professionals, and new cutting-edge content from the top personal trainer and wellness coach in the nation.
You've heard me talk about using infrared light and red light therapy, guys, on your skin, cellulite. I was going to say ladies, but guys have cellulite too.
Download Ben Greenfield Fitness every Wednesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Oh, I got to tell you, if you're looking to have a good time at the movies, then look no further than the new comedy Fighting With My Family in theaters today. The tremendous Dwayne The Rock Johnson is producing this new film as it follows WWE superstar Paige with her hilarious wrestling family as she grows up in the business of professional wrestling. This is a honest-to-goodness WWE Cinderella story on the big screen. If you're a diehard WWE fan or just a fan of comedies with a lot of heart, you're going to love Fighting With My Family. Check it out. This movie has the super talented Vince Vaughn, who's incredibly funny in it. There's also Nick Frost. You guys, you remember him. He was awesome. You guys remember Shaun of the Dead? Hilarious. And The Rock's even in the movie. This guy does it all. Fighting With My Family is an honest and hilarious portrayal of what it takes mentally and physically to succeed in professional wrestling. A true underdog story that critics are calling funny, heartfelt, and inspiring. It's a unique experience that tells the story of the talented, tough woman who changed the game, and she comes from one hilarious family. Do not miss Fighting With My Family in theaters now. Check it out.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I really enjoyed the buildup. Anthony Smith versus John Jones, which is right around the corner, quite frankly. I mean, geez, we're zeroing in. Week plus, 8 days. It's very interesting, though. The odds are, 10-1. 10-1 for John Jones. Anthony Smith, never been in a fight where this few of people believe in him. That was a headline. I'm quoting a headline. That's not true. That's actually not true. I'm disputing that headline. And they used as evidence the odds, that he's never had this kind of odds stacked against him. Well, that's two different conversations. Somebody comes in with a pocket full of hundreds, they'll swing those odds. Let's look back. You said, Mr. Ryder, and I won't say your name, but you said that he's never had so few of people believe in him. You have not followed the Anthony Smith story. When Anthony Smith fought a man named Hector Lombard, one person believed Anthony could win that fight, and his name was Anthony. I don't know what the odds were. They were against him. But I do know the word on the street, and I do know not one single person thought he was going to win that fight except for a young man named Anthony. When Anthony Smith fought Rashad Evans, I do not remember what the odds are, but I do know the people were against him. And I do know there was only one person who thought he could win that fight, and it was him. And I know when he went in there with the former number one contender in Vulcan, who looked great, who gave DC a little bit of a run and gave everybody else an ass whipping. I don't remember what the odds were, but I do know the word on the street. And I do know that there was only one person that thought Anthony Smith was going to win that fight, and that is Anthony. So you can tell me the odds are whatever you want to tell me the odds are. I don't give a damn. I'm not betting on the contest. So the joke's on you. But if you try to tie that to a narrative that nobody believes in Anthony Smith, nobody's ever believed in Anthony Smith except one guy, Anthony Smith. Rumored fight that I happen to believe to be true is Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson, but there's a lot on this. I'm not sure where to start with unpacking it. I mean, right off the bat, you look at it and go, ooh, yeah, I want to see that fight, right? Here's the thing with these guys. If you're going to have somebody that you think can beat Max Holloway, you're going to bring out the punches and the kicks and the wrestling, and you're going to be wrong. The thing that you have to make sure that the opponent has, if he's going to have any chance to beat Max, is a gas tank. Can he hold up for 25 minutes? Because Max is one of the very few guys through the history of the sport who has weaponized pace, and it is the greatest weapon you can bring into an ass-whipping contest. So if you want somebody to go across from him and beat him, you have to be able to make sure you can check that box. Let's look at Tony Ferguson. If you want somebody to beat Tony Ferguson, before you talk about the punches and the kicks and the grappling and the submission, you have to make sure that they can hold up for 25 minutes. Because Tony Ferguson is one of the few guys in the history of this sport to weaponize pace. And he will go all goddamn day. And it is intimidating. And it buckles guys. And they both bring it to the table. So now we can have a conversation on who's going to win. Before you look at that fight, though, there's a lot of lessons here, guys. Let me go through this real quickly. The bigger storyline, what is going to happen with Max? All of us are a little tired of people leaving divisions behind. Myself too. I love the parody and I love that somebody can go up. I love the champ, champ thing. I love the champ, champ, champ thing. I love grabbing as much hardware as you possibly can if that's your goal and you've only got an X amount of window to do it. I love it. I will also acknowledge that to put everybody else in the locker room with similar goals and dreams and just as much work ethic and sacrifice on hold of their ultimate aspiration is unfair. So what do you do? And what are you going to do in this case? Max going up to 155, jumping right in the mix against Tony. Does he do that belt in tow? If he's officially becoming a 155-pounder and he's going on a run, does he give up his belt? Because that in many ways would be unprecedented. If he was to go up for a fight that was not for a belt, I would feel terrible for him. If this is what he's elected to do, I'd be happy for him. If they want to make an interim championship, don't forget the current champion is out. And not only is he out and stuck in detention, he's now publicly saying, I'm not even coming back when that detention's up. I'm sitting even longer. Okay, well, we got to take you at your word at some point. We got to get on with it. If you're going to tell me we're going to get Tony and Max and you're going to tell me they're going to have to go out there for 25 minutes, I think I'm right to then tell you that some piece of hardware has to be up on the line. That has not been discussed. I am not reporting to you that that is for an interim championship of any kind. But if you're going to take Max's belt away, and I don't know that they are, if they are, you either have to give him a title opportunity or you have to sit him down and in no uncertain terms promise that the winner of this fight fights for the belt next. That seems like a hard promise to me. For me, that seems like a harder promise to make because you have so many great options at 155. So many. All of a sudden, Ally Quinter just doesn't exist. Are you going to try to tell me that? Oh, please. Kevin Lee doesn't matter because he's coming off a loss to Ally Quinter. Oh, please. Please, I'll lose respect for you if you try to tell me that. You try to have this whole discussion and only talk about Conor and Khabib. Try to have this whole discussion and slip in Nate Diaz. And you don't ever bring up Dustin Poirier? Please. You and I are done talking MMA because I just lost respect for you. Listen up. The sports action in the NBA, the NHL, and college basketball is hotter than ever. And each game becomes that much more important. For instance, in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors are dominating. But can they be stopped? The Bucks and the Raptors are the top of the East, but Philly isn't far behind. You've also got the Denver Nuggets making their claim, and don't forget about LeBron and the Lakers. Could they make a run? As I've been saying for months, there is only one place here at Podcast One that has the action you are looking for, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account on betonline.ag, use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. And don't forget to try live in-game betting to stay right up in the mix. Again, that's betonline.ag. For all the details and while you're there, use the promo code PODCAST1, that's PODCAST O-N-E, to get a 50% sign-up bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action with BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. The other side of this equation, let's take a look at the facts that it is going to be Max and Khabib. I apologize, Tony. Poirier, who has been the odd man out and who has been slighted, who has been given great opportunities, made the most of them, and I'm talking about working up his way up the card. I'm talking about main slot, then I'm talking about co-main event slot, then I'm talking about headlining spot. He was given a very big fight with Nate Diaz. It was to be at Madison Square Garden. So the company did attempt to make right with Poirier. Somewhere, Poirier got injured. The fight didn't happen. That doesn't mean he gets punished and kicked to the curb. I'm just adding that for the story. The company did try to make right, and he was going to get the recognition he needed. Now he's back, though, and he deserves to be in the mix, and he deserves to be in the conversation. But when Max and Tony got rumored, Poirier weighed in on social media and said, you know, you might as well just release me. If all the big fights are going to go to these other guys, you might as well just release me. I see where that frustration comes, and I take no pleasure in it. He is as tough as an old leather boot. He came up the slow and the long way, and if you ever meet him, he's as nice of a guy as you're going to come across. And that, I can't say that many times in this sport. There's a lot of jerks out there, but Dustin Poirier isn't one of them. And I would love for something good to happen to him. I must tell you, politely and humbly, a correction that needs to be made. Okay. Max had just beat Ortega to give you guys the timeline. When he beat Ortega, he stopped him on his feet in the fourth round, and it was so bad the referee had to step in there. It was a rare kind of a beating from a rare kind of a pace from a rare kind of fighter, and it caught everybody's attention. Within a week of that, Tony Ferguson and Max Holloway, and I can't remember when what order, but they got into it out of nowhere, somewhere on social media, and Dana White even weighed in to say, I love it. I'm just telling you the story. And if that may frustrate you that social media can steer a guy's career, then you're looking at this wrong. Because I could give you 20 more stories off the top of my head in the last 30 days without even looking at the phone to tell you where it did. So instead of being frustrated by it, you need to observe this and you need to copy it. There are two approaches here. As politely as I can be to somebody I respect tremendously in Dustin Poirier, but there are two approaches. One is to do everything right and then sit by your phone. The other one is to pick up your phone and pick a fight. And you can look at Max and Tony, who figured this out themselves, and Dana was the last to the table, but they got their way. Or you could go back a little further to Conor versus Mayweather, where Dana White was the last one to the table, but he liked it and they got their way. Or I could tell you the 20 other times in between where two fighters put it together on their own, took it to the public said yes, and Dana White signed off. I want you all to be successful in this sport. To understand how to be successful is tricky, and the landscape changes fast. To not even be able to imitate success is frustrating. To not be able to look at somebody who's getting it their way, their time, and then go and copy that is baffling to me. I don't pick on Dustin at all, and I sure hope this message wasn't told that way, and I want something really special to happen for him, and there's still some players out there, and I still think that it can and will, and he does deserve it. But the miss on this is to think, okay, I've already done it. I did my business. I handled Eddie. I handled Gaethje. I did the press conferences for Nate. People loved it. Something good's going to happen to me. We have incredibly short-term memories. And it reminds me of a fortune cookie I got when I was 9 years old. And it simply said, success is something that people need to be reminded of often. I had no idea what it meant, and I asked my mother. And she explained it to me. No matter how good you looked or what you won last week, people will doubt you this week. Which is why you need to show up again and again and keep on getting the medal. And I got it. And this business is guilty of it. And Francis Ngannou, as great as he looked and as great as he did, in dealing with the pressures and walking into a five-round atmosphere and being one of the very few men in the history of the world to get over on Cain Velasquez, had his manager or trainer go up behind the curtain and tap Dana White on the shoulder and say, we would like a title shot. 4 minutes later, the champion named Daniel Cormier was live on SportsCenter and Ariel Helwani asked him if he was going to give Francis the title shot. Daniel Cormier answered the question honestly, which was to say, he didn't ask for one, which was true. When Francis was in the ring in front of the world with a microphone in his hand, he did not ask for a title shot, of which the champ was home and watching. And 4 minutes later, went on the biggest sports channel on the goddamn world and answered a question honestly, which was to say, he didn't ask for one. Do not wait by your phone to ring. Pick up your phone and make the call. This is America, and you will only get what you ask for. Let's take a moment to give a big shout-out to our friends over at TrueCar. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer on your car. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, to pet your dog, or do a few of those New Year's sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer on your vehicle. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate numbers and watch how your car's details pop up. After that, you're going to answer a few questions. Then you will get an accurate true cash offer from a local true car certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your car and they're going to check it out with you. They'll ask you a few questions. You'll get a few answers. So there's no surprises. Then simply leave with a check or trade in your car for a new vehicle. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. So George St. Pierre retired yesterday, and there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that if you followed his career, because he's never used the word retirement. In fact, he shied away from it. In fact, I was there the night that he fought Johnny Hendricks, won the championship, but left the belt behind. I was at the press conference when Dana's turning left and turning right. What the hell does that even mean? You're not retiring, but you're leaving the belt behind? What does that mean? I was with Dana going, hey, man, I don't know what that means either. But George didn't want to use the word retire. That's what he said. That's what he made clear. Hey, I don't know if I'm coming back. I'm definitely taking a break, and I'm letting all the boys in the back and the promotion and the fans and everybody in on my mindset, which is get on with it without me. I will see you down the road, but I don't know when that'll be. Oh, and by the way, I'm not retired. Big deal. Doesn't matter what you make of the story that I just told you about that night. The point that I want you to get from this is he was that reluctant and that insistent and that disciplined to not use that word when he made his comeback, when he set records, when he won a championship of the world at a different weight class known as 185 pounds against Michael Bisping. He left the belt behind and said, guys, get on with it. Media, promotion, and fellow athletes. I'm not retired, but I am also not going to defend this belt. Okay, well, that's a complete headache in some regards, only because that frame of dialogue is tough to keep up with. However, it was tremendously honorable of George, something that I never felt he got his credit for. So many people, I always felt they missed the point on this. George St. Pierre is the sitting champion of the world. Anybody else would have held that belt as long as they could, which they could have got away with 12 months. An injury. I'm not feeling good. Whatever the excuse was, they could have fooled everybody for 12 months. They could have done all the media opportunities. They could have taken the money from sponsors who now get to use him with the belt in the likeness. And they could have got away with it for 12 months. George held that belt for 8 days, made his decision, and said this is not fair to the rest of the guys who also have a dream to hold this thing. Here you go and get on with it. Tremendously honorable thing to do. The story was told in a different way, which made it look as though it was less than honorable. That is false. That is looking at it inaccurately. So, now that we understand how much George St. Pierre does dance to the beat of his own drum in this sport, has earned the right to do that. Not many guys have. A lot of guys think they're there. A lot of guys think that they can call their own shots. George actually earned it, and his numbers back him when he agrees to do business. All right, great. Different set of rules for George. But when you understand that, you also have to understand how much he respects the word retire. He respects it to a point that he fears it, almost as though I believe I would be accurate in telling you that he believes in the laws of attraction and that he believes he should not put something out there into the universe unless he means it, because it could come back and bite him in the ass. That is how disciplined he was to avoid that word. Yesterday he retired. George St. Pierre is anything but a BS artist. He would not lie. He would not fabricate anything ever, even in the words of promotion. Through the art of promotion, where it's okay. It's quite all right. Tell your story. I just want to be entertained. I don't give a damn about the facts. You're not under oath. Come out and entertain me, George. Even with that built-in protection, George St. Pierre has never evoked it. So I don't think I'm right to question him now, but I cannot help but question, did we get the accurate info on the swan song? Because the story goes like this. George was ready to fight one more time. It was for the 155-pound championship against Khabib Nurmagomedov. He wanted that champ, champ, champ. He wanted to break history. He wanted that on the line. And he was willing to put his body and his skills and his reputation and his legacy against his belief that he is the guy that could pull it off. And the story goes that the promotion said no. And therefore, George, with having nothing left that he wanted to do in this sport, said, I'm going to retire. First off, it's very hard to keep a secret in this sport. So if George St. Pierre was pining for a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov, I do feel as though I would have heard about it, and I didn't. Secondly, I find it troubling to conclude that the promotion would not take that fight. I realize the problems that come with it. I realize history repeats itself. And if George St. Pierre just won a 185-pound championship just for the goddamn pleasure of doing it and then walked away 8 days later, we should have come to every possible belief that he's going to do that at 155 and walk away 8 days later and leave that division in shambles as well. I would just ask you, if you're the promoter, is that big of a deal? Did you guys even remember until I told you it right now that George St. Pierre walked away from the 185-pound belt and left it in shambles? Did you guys ever feel that 185 was left in shambles? Because this just happened. At any point in the history of the lineage of 185 pounds, was it in shambles? Because I don't remember that. I do not remember it that way. I remember a great and decorated champion doing the honorable thing of putting his foot in the sand at the top of the mountain and then giving somebody else the opportunity to do it. I remember having a lot of fun having discussions on who those two guys should be. I, in fairness, will remind you that I also remember when George came into 185 pounds, cut the line, went in front of everybody, Jacare and Weidman and Gastelum and all the usual suspects, Rockholt at the time, that some people were going, hey, this isn't right. But for the majority of the boys in the locker room went, look, we get it, man. It's the greatest to have ever done it. Yeah, he's changing weights. He doesn't even have a ranking here, but it's the greatest to have ever done it. He gets to step in front of us. Why wouldn't he? When we're behind the curtain and nobody's looking, he cuts in front of us in line at catering. When we're all thirsty and waiting for water or a cup of coffee, George is the first one to get an espresso. It's George St. Pierre. Of course he's going to cut the line. So at 185 pounds, or 155 pounds rather in this case, are you going to have some people going, hey, wait a minute, I don't know about this? Well, again, history repeats itself. And yeah, that did happen at 185, but not many of them. And to the ones that even spoke up within the interviews they did, all of them did come to the same conclusion, which is, well, you know, we get it. It's George. So I'm just putting myself in the shoes of the promoter. I don't think that story is being told right. I don't think the promotion would say no. I think that is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. A return of George St. Pierre versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. And yes, it does throw the division into a bit of a mess if you think George is going to beat your undefeated, undisputed champion. If George isn't going to beat Khabib, we don't even need to have this conversation. Bring him in, use him up, squeeze that, or get all the juice out of it. Send him back to Montreal. That's the business. Nobody's going to think twice about it. Unless you think that George is going to win. If that becomes the problem and you think that becomes a bit of a jam, I talked to Errol about this and I voiced this to Helwani. I told him this on ESPN Plus. On Wednesday. And he said, oh, no, Chael, they just don't like the way that George does business. They don't like the way that George wants to come in on one-offs. These guys are contract guys. These guys are long-term guys. I said, Errol, I see your point, and you are not wrong. I do not dispute anything you just said. But Dana White is going to have to work with somebody. So if he has the headaches that George brings to the table, you can't tell me that he's not feeling headaches with his sitting champion who's in the principal's office on suspension and telling the world he's not even coming back when the suspension's up, or his number one contender, Conor McGregor, who's also in the principal's office. I don't buy it. You put that in conjunction with the fact that the story that I just told you came out and Khabib Nurmagomedov instantly went to social media and said, whoa, I'll fight you, George. So now I'm supposed to make believe that George St. Pierre was having meaningful conversations with a promotion who allegedly didn't want him. That stuns me. I know those guys. I've been I know those guys inside. You're telling me they don't want George St. Pierre? I got a problem with that. I got a problem believing that. But now you're telling me they tried to make a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov, who Khabib's social media account alone tells me Khabib was never brought in on? Khabib did not even know that George wanted that fight? And was putting the entire rest of his career on the line to do the fight until after the fact? I'm not saying somebody's lying here. I am saying there are multiple sides to every story, and we have not gotten this entire story. And leave it to none other than your old pal, Chael. I will get to the bottom of this. I will recap this for you. I will go to Dana, I will go to Khabib, and I will go to George. I will single-handedly piece this thing together, but we are going to find out what in the hell got in the way of the great St. Pierre against the great Khabib Nurmagomedov, and we're going to do it right here on this show. I may not have it for you next week, but I will be here next week. And until then, remember who you are, what you stand for, and try not to let that get you down. I'm Chael Sonnen. And you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.